Please be turning your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're carrying on going through this Old Testament narrative. Nehemiah chapter 1. Again, let's pray. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Father, thank you for the very many promises that we have in your word, testimonies of both your grace and your faithfulness. Your word is true. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with you. We have been adopted as your sons, and so we come with boldness to your throne of grace. You said, come. You said, ask, seek, knock. And yet oftentimes we confess that we either try to do things on our own, we're not mindful of our desperate need, and other times we come to you not believing that you are almighty and good and gracious, and that you are eager to give good gifts to your children for your glory and for our good. So please, this morning, through your word, would you increase our faith? And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Last week, as we were going through Nehemiah chapter 1, this book which records events some 2,000 years ago, we thought about prayer, and I asked the question, how much of your praying is actually praying? How much of your praying is actually praying? We were challenged, weren't we, by what E.M. Bounds says about prayerless praying. It's possible for us to go through the motions in prayer, but to be no different to the Pharisees, actually, such that our prayers do not reach God. There might be no vigor, no sweetness, no earnestness, no pleading with God. Do you remember John Knox who prayed, give me Scotland, or may I die? So much of our praying is without passion, without expectation, dare I say. We're just going through the motions. Prayerless praying gets no results. God is not reached. We thought how it is in the scriptures that God gives us many, many encouragements to pray. And some of these are through the prayers of the saints of old, like Nehemiah, a man who prayed much. In fact, there are 9 of his prayers recorded in the book of Nehemiah. He was a man who prayed, and his prayers reached God, and he got answers from God. He had the ear of God. He reached God. And so, along with Hannah and Moses and Abraham and others, we have a record of his praying here in Scripture. And we see God's gracious answer to his praying. So as we carry on looking at this prayer, I trust that you will be encouraged to pray earnestly for the ear of God, to pray for the glory of God, and to pray expectantly, believing God. Please stand with me. I'm going to read Nehemiah from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to chapter 2. Verse 8, and I'm reading from the ESV. Nehemiah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I've chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, when I'd given him a time, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Please be seated. So my hope is that as we see how the Lord was gracious in answering Nehemiah's prayer, this prayer that has been written for our encouragement, think of the countless prayers of the saints that are not recorded, but this has found its way by God's design into the canon of Scripture. And it's here for our instruction and for our encouragement. So we see how God graciously answered Nehemiah's pleading. See what he asked in verse 11. Verse 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. This is his prayer. And give success to your servant today. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And we go down to verse 8 of chapter 2. Right at the end. The king granted me what I asked. Why? For the good hand of my God was upon me. God answered his prayer, even as Nehemiah prayed on the basis of God's covenant, seeking God's ear. We see how he confessed his sin and came to the God of heaven in prayer. And remember how we considered last week how it is that we, you and I, if you're in Christ, have the ear of God. Not because we're great people, but because we have a great Savior. How it is that if we are in Christ, we know that Christ suffered and died for us to bring us to God. Remember 1 Peter. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. We have a great high priest who lives to intercede for us, and so we come with boldness, with confidence to the throne of grace, the Most High. Because by God's grace, through the blood of Christ, we have been adopted into God's family. And we come as sons of God, pleading with our Father in heaven. We have the ear of the God of heaven. And so we come through our union with Christ because of his blood and righteousness. We pray confidently for his name's sake. And we saw how at the heart of Nehemiah's prayer was that God's name would be glorified. We pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May people see, through you answering my pleading, that you are a great and a gracious God, mighty and merciful. And so as we come to pray, we pray with thanksgiving. We pray with confidence, with boldness. We pray earnestly, and we pray for God's glory. Well, we have three more instructions for believers regarding prayer this morning. And we see this in this prayer recorded in Scripture for us. Number one, pray specifically. Pray specifically. We see in verse 11 what it was that Nehemiah was praying specifically for. And here we're talking about supplications, requests, because of course there is much reason to praise God in prayer, to give thanks to God in prayer. But specifically thinking about requests, supplications, he prays that the Lord might hear his prayer. And he prays, give success, verse 11, give success to your servant today. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And of course, he's speaking about the king, this great king, Artaxerxes. And maybe in his prayer, even he's mindful of the fact that this is the king of all Persia. He is great and mighty, but he is only a man. And I'm requesting of you, God in heaven, that you will work just in the same way that you worked in the heart of Cyrus, knowing that the king's heart is just a water course in your hands. God of heaven, would you please do this? And he's asking according to God's mercy, that he might have success in the sight of the king. In fact, literally, although it's a phrase that I don't much like because the way it's misused, but literally, he's saying, in the sight of this man, please will you give me a breakthrough? That's what he's asking. Actually, that you would work in such a way that the king would grant what I ask of him. It's very specific. He's praying for God to do something. He's going to ask the king, please will you give me leave? Please will you give me permission to go back to Judah? And remember, it may well be that it was because of the order of Artaxerxes that the walls that were being rebuilt were demolished and the gates burnt. You see that in Ezra chapter 4. He's going to come to this king and boldly ask, give me leave to go back to Judah and actually to rebuild the defensive walls of Jerusalem. Please will you give me permission and safe conduct all the way there? And please will you provide so that we can get this done? He's not asking for something little. And he's asking that Almighty God would work in the heart of the king such that he would have success, such that the king would say yes. Nehemiah is asking for something very specifically. So much so that in chapter 2 he gives glory to God and he says, the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. We might paraphrase that and say, the king said yes to my request because God answered my prayer. Nehemiah prayed very specifically, and so do you see how he was able to give glory to God? Because that specific prayer was answered. Your praying needs to be specific. It must be a request when you come in supplication. You must be requesting that God does something specific and definite, such that he might receive the glory when he graciously answers our prayer. How much of your praying is vague? Well, we ask God and we expect God to do something specific as we come humbly in prayer. Bounds, again in his book, says the aim of all real praying is to get the thing prayed for, as the child's cry for bread has its end, the getting of bread. One of my heroes when it comes to prayer is George Mueller. And you read his biography. And his biography is really a testimony to the faithfulness and kindness, the grace of Almighty God. But you see how he prayed specifically time and time again, and how God was glorified time and time again as he answered those specific prayers. Our praying must be specific, not empty words, but direct, hearty, intense, and expectant. Is your praying like that? Again, bounds. Faith must be definite, specific. An unqualified, unmistakable request for the things asked for. It is not to be a vague, indefinite, shadowy thing. It must be something more than an abstract belief in God's willingness and ability to do for us. It is to be a definite, specific, asking for and expecting the things for which we ask. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do you believe that? How often have you heard preaching on God's word, scriptures like that, and all we hear is, well, you can't believe this, you can't believe that. This is God's word. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. Just as the humble request is specific, so the answer will be specific. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7 verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Note verse 9. Of which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, he's asking specifically for bread. Father, I need bread. There's nothing in the cupboard. Please, will you give me bread? If he asks for bread, will he be given a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? We're to ask specifically, according to our needs, and such that our gracious Father in heaven will be glorified as he answers specific prayers. He's seen to be good and ever so gracious. Nehemiah was able to say, "The king granted me what I asked. I asked for this, and he granted me this because his gracious hand was upon me." All glory to God. Secondly, pray expectantly. Pray expectantly. Go back to Nehemiah if you're not there. Remember how this prayer is written down to encourage us. It's an example of how we might pray. And Nehemiah prays expectantly. He is expecting God to do something for him. How do we know? Well, notice as we get to chapter 2, verse 4, he's been earnestly and persistently praying. He's been fasting and pleading with Almighty God to grant him favor in the sight of the king. And when the king gives him an opportunity, remember with Esther, you don't just bowl into the king's presence and make your request made known. When he has this opportunity, verse 4 of chapter 2, what are you requesting? He prays to the God of heaven. And that word there again, pleading, "Lord, please give me success. You know this is what I've been asking you. Here's my opportunity. Will you please work in his heart? According to your rich mercy, grant that he'd say yes to what I ask." He's expecting God to answer because he has his script already. Well, what are you asking? Well, I'd like to go back to Judah to rebuild the walls. Well, how long will you be? This is how long I'll be. What do you need? This is exactly what I need. I need these letters. I need these provisions. He's ready. He's expecting Almighty God to move in the heart of the king. He's waiting for God to act. Expecting God to act. Somebody asked me this week, "Do you think it is sinful to pray without expecting God to answer?" Does it seem irreverent to use the word expecting rather than hoping? I think Nehemiah was expecting God to answer on the basis of his covenant, on the basis of his rich mercy, on the basis of the fact that this was for his glory. So, is it sinful to pray without expecting God to answer? Well, what does God say? Hebrews 11, we read this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe, listen to this, that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If we don't trust, if we don't believe, if we don't have faith that God rewards those who seek him, and that really is about the nature of God, isn't it? God doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But God is gracious. God is kind. God so loved the world that long before you and I loved him, he sent his son into the world to save us from our sins. Our sins, because by nature we're rebels. This is a testimony to the character of God. He rewards those who seek him. He is kind and generous. If it wasn't for his mercy, none of us would stand. And yet God is rich in mercy and is lavish in his grace. And he calls us to believe him when he says that he rewards those who seek him. Matthew 6, verse 6, remember, there's a lot in the Sermon on the Mount about God's gracious fatherliness. And he speaks about giving in secret and praying in secret and fasting in secret. And he says in Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you don't, you're calling God a liar, and it doesn't please him. So, is it sin if you pray without expecting God to answer? Yes. You're not taking him at his word. And what about if you're still in Matthew 7, verse 11? Having just told us to ask and to expect to be given. Verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? As we ask for good things, the Father delights to the praise of his glorious grace to answer our prayers. As we pray, we must believe what God has said. You need to pray expectantly. Again, Bounds, faith is the essential quality in the heart of any man who desires to communicate with God. He must believe and stretch out the hands of faith for that which he cannot see or prove. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not faith in yourself. This is not faith in your faith. Well, if you've got enough faith, this is faith in a Father who has loved us and lavished his grace upon us. It is faith in him and his mighty power and his great faithfulness and his lavish love. Faith does the impossible because it lets God undertake for us, and nothing is impossible with God. And so we come, cap in hand, Father, please, you know my need. You know this person's need. Will you please, for the sake of your name, supply this, do this, please, Lord. And our confidence is not in the earnestness of our praying, nor in our personal holiness. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Our confidence is in our powerful and gracious God, who is faithful to his promises and who answers prayer for his glory and for our good. Nehemiah was expecting God to act. He was all ready for the moment that God gave him that opportunity. Are you expecting God to answer your prayers? I wonder how many times you ask God and you forget that you've asked him, and he lavishes his grace upon you in his kindness. He answers your prayer and you've forgotten even that you've prayed that. Are you waiting expectantly for him to act when you pray? Nehemiah knows that the God of heaven is able and willing to answer his prayer, and he expects God to answer his prayer. Bounds again, to the man or woman who is acquainted with God and who knows how to pray, there is nothing remarkable in the answers that come. They're sure of being heard, since they ask in accordance with what they know to be the mind and will of God. And so that promise in 1 John 3, that when we know God, when we know what pleases him, then we know that he's heard our prayer, and even that he'll answer our prayers. We come to him humbly, pleading with our Father in heaven. Your praying should be like this if you expect God to answer. As you come to God's throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray specifically. And even with a mind to the fact that when God graciously answers this prayer, I'm going to be able to testify to his kindness. Pray specifically, pray expectantly. And thirdly, pray persistently. Pray persistently. See with me how Nehemiah prayed persistently. He didn't give up. Chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. All that together. He's gutted to hear that the city where God said his name would dwell, that the walls were demolished, the gates were burned down. He's concerned about God's name. And so he prays and he fasts continually, praying to the God of heaven. He doesn't give up. For days, in fact, Nehemiah chapter 2, the month of Nisan, is 4 or 5 months later. 4 or 5 months later, until he gets an answer. But he continues to pray, to fast. It's easy, isn't it? Or maybe I'm the only person like this. When we pray for something specific, earnestly, believing that God will answer, and we just run out of steam because he doesn't do it immediately. We give up praying. And because we're theologically sound, we think, well, obviously, this is not within the sovereign decree of God. And we give up praying. But Nehemiah is persistent. Because of his faith, his confidence in his mighty God, his power, his grace, his faithfulness, wanting his glory, Nehemiah prays on. Go back to Matthew 7 and hear what we have in God's word. Here, Matthew 7, verse 7. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek." I've asked, is there anyone there? Will you please do something? Seek and you will find. Knock, please. I'm desperate. Please. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. So we keep praying. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. People who know God are persistent in prayer. Think about Abraham. His nephew Lot is in the city of Sodom, and so Abraham intercedes for his nephew. Lord, if there are 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare the city? Yep, for 50 righteous I will. And he keeps going, and he keeps going, dependent upon God's justice. What about Moses? Do you remember how the people of God, they've been rescued out of Egypt? Moses is up the mountain, and they build a golden calf. And with revelry and much mockery, they bow down before this golden calf. And Moses then intercedes for the people of God according to God's mercy. 40 days and 40 nights he prays for them until the Lord says, I will show them mercy. I won't destroy them. What about Elijah? Praying according to the promises that God has already given. He prays for rain. There's been no rain. And then he begins to pray for rain. And 7 times he prays until the rain comes, believing God's promise. How easy it is for us to give up. Perhaps because we don't know God. Or perhaps we don't believe that he is good and gracious. Perhaps it's because we don't know what God has said in his word. Those who know God persist in praying. God is so tender-hearted. And knowing that we are so easily prone to giving up, he gives us one encouragement after another to persist in praying. Luke 18. Many of you know where I'm going. The persistent widow. Chapter 18, verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Keep praying. Be persistent in your praying. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so that she'll not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Here he's not saying that God is like this unrighteous judge, but he's saying that here is an unrighteous judge who doesn't care for his people. And by this widow's persistence, she got what she asked for. Well, think about God, our just, righteous, gracious Father in heaven. How much more will he be pleased to give those who come to him? Will not God give justice to his elect, verse 7, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And what about in the same chapter, verse 35, another example of persistence. And again, God commends this man for his faith, not the measure of his faith in himself, but his measure of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is demonstrated in his persistence. Verse 35. Luke 18, as they drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him. What an embarrassment, Such enthusiasm. Maybe he was British. I don't know. Those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Like Jacob, he wasn't going to give up. He might even have thrown himself in front of Jesus, except he couldn't see him. He was not going to give up, in spite of what the crowd said. Final Bounds quote, "The absolute necessity of persistent prayer, not giving up, is plainly stated in the Word of God and needs to be stated and restated today. We're inclined to overlook this vital truth. Love of ease, spiritual laziness, and religious indifference all operate against this type of petitioning." I'd add another one. Maybe our theology. We were very quick to say, well, this is obviously not God's will. But really, it's spiritual laziness. Our praying needs to be pursued with an energy that never tires. It needs to have a persistency that will not be denied and a courage that never fails. Go with me to Luke 11. Luke 11. And here, the Lord Jesus is teaching on prayer. And he gives this example again, not suggesting that God is like this friend locked up in his house. But hear what Jesus says, verse 5. He said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you." And so he goes on. Impudence. A cheek, a shamelessness. The NASB translates that persistence. The Net Bible, sheer persistence. It is a shamelessness in keep on asking. Please. Asking, seeking. Are you in there? Will you help me, please? Persisting in prayer. God in heaven is not just a friend. He is our Father. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Our adoption is through our union with Christ, adopted eternally. He is good and mighty. He's promised to provide us with all that we need. Just read through the Sermon on the Mount again and see it's on the base of his fatherly goodness that we're to come to him and ask because he cares for us. Matthew 6, "Seek his kingdom and his righteousness and he'll provide you with everything that you need." Or Romans 8, "He who did not spare his own son, can we doubt his kindness? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Last example, Matthew 15. This, friends, an encouragement that you, like Nehemiah, persist in prayer. Why? Because God calls us to be persistent in prayer. to be specific, to be expectant, and to persist in our praying. Not to be spiritually lazy, to the glory of God. Matthew 15. The faith of a Canaanite woman. Now, we're having steroids as well. It's not just an unrighteous judge. It's not just a friend. This is a Gentile woman. She's a dog. She's unclean. And yet see how the Lord Jesus Christ shows her grace because of her persistence. It's almost as if he's testing her faith. How far will she go? And he commends her faith. And he grants her her request immediately because of that persistent faith. And we should be thinking, wow, if he does this for a Gentile woman, how much more for his brothers in Christ? The father for his sons. I'm talking about men and women here. Those who are co-heirs with Christ. Chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying. Tyre and Sidon, north, way north of Galilee. It's where the dirty people lived. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away. She's crying out after us. Get rid of her. Use your authority. Get her away from us. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Speaking about Israel and the Gentiles. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. See how this Gentile woman is commended for her faith, for her desire, for her persistence. She will not be denied. She keeps asking until she receives. She recognizes Christ's authority. She calls him Lord. We come humbly to our Father in heaven, to his throne. He reigns. He is the Most High. But he is gracious. And so we come expectantly, earnestly, urgently, and persistently. Superficial prayer sinks into silence when the answer is delayed, one writer says. But the man of prayer hangs on and on. The Lord recognizes and honors that faith and gives him a rich answer to his faith evidencing persistent prayer. Let's pray. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Father in heaven, please forgive us our lack of faith. Please forgive us our spiritual laziness. Please forgive us for not believing these wonderful promises that you give in Scripture. Please forgive us for not taking to heart these examples that you give us time and time again in your word, that you are a God who graciously answers prayer. And oh, Father, how we need you. So many things around us, so many things in our own lives that we're struggling with, so many needs. Please stir up our faith that we might be those who give glory to you by asking great things of you and having great answers. We ask this in the precious name of our great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.